picture of his family and him standing next to the phone.
Yeah, I was trying to find that picture, but I couldn't get it. Well, I guess we're lost, too. Somewhere two or three are gathered together, praise the Lord.
Here's folks downstairs, and here comes the... So we got an audience here. It's like herd of cats, but they get in here.
There you are. We were looking
morning.
For you.
There he is.
There he is.
There's my right hand man.
Yeah. Herding cats, huh?
You know, they did a... they did a Bible after our brother there, Doug. In the beginning, Doug.
Dog.
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 All right.
Hey,
fellas.
Morning, John.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. And shame on the devil. Unfortunately, when we get into Isaiah 23, we're going to see the foot tracks of the devil throughout the whole thing. I mean, verse by verse, the devil's there. And if I didn't know any better, I can tell you that Isaiah 23 is, again, another picture of the book of Revelation. And that's incredible all by itself. So, well, let's go ahead and ask the Lord's choices. Blessings upon this July 4th weekend, and up to probably 100 years ago, July 4th weekend was always considered a spiritual holiday, thanking God for freeing us from the tyranny of the British, and granting us freedom to live as we ought to live before the Lord. And today, in America, they've taken that freedom, and they want to live before the devil. And they want to do the devil's work. That's not what America's for. And we need a lot of prayer. So, you don't mind praying back here?
Yes, sir.
Thank Amen.
You. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this beautiful morning, this eve of Independence Day that you have, in your grace, given liberty to this country for a long period of time. Lord, we know that no matter what happens in this country, that as you declared in your word through your servant Peter, that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We know that to be true. No matter what happens here on earth, that we have a relationship with you, and in that we are free. And we praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and... turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 23. The first thing we want to sort of take note here is that there are 66 books in Isaiah, which is a picture of the Word of God, which has 66 books. And as of last week, we completed 22 of them, which means we're one-third of the way through the book of Isaiah, which leaves 44 left. Or if those are like percentages, that leaves 66.6% left.
Check your mic.
Hello? Anybody home? Hello?
Okay,
it's
a little closer.
They have
something. I think it's
Alex. Hello? Hello?
It's on now. You're good.
Hello? 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 Okay, I think we're in contact here. So, at any rate, though, we're one-third of the way through the our Isaiah study. We just completed 22 chapters as of last week. We've got 44 to go. Our prayer, believe it or not, is not to finish the 66 chapters. Our prayer is for the rapture to come at any moment.
Amen.
I mean, the more I study the Word of God, guys, the more terrifying it gets. And when you start seeing what's going on in the world today, and what goes on in the Word of God, you know, God knows everything that's going on. There's nothing that escapes His notice. And as we study Isaiah 23, We're going to find out the similarities with the book of Revelation, the similarity with the end times, and the tremendous warning. When we get to verses 8 and 9, you'll see the tremendous warning. America is so proud and so arrogant, they don't think nothing can happen to them. And I'd like to tell you, I've been studying history, and I can tell you they have been dismantling this country since 1901.
Amen.
They've been dismantling it. So don't think that God doesn't know what's going on. He knows what's going on. And each succeeding generation keeps surrendering more of the freedom pie to the point we're almost left with just a pan with nothing in it. I will tell you a neat quote that I enjoyed this week. Occasionally, I'll come across quotes by Einstein, and he was a character and a half. But he said, the difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limitations. That is such a great quote. And guys, when we're in the Word of God, we have limitations. God has no limitations, but that doesn't mean he's stupid. The people trying to dismantle this country are the stupid ones. And Lester Roloff once preached a sermon called The Mule Walked On. And the mule is a picture of sin. And good old Absalom was riding it, and he got his hair stuck up in an oak tree. It was like a picture of the cross. He was stuck in the air. His feet did not touch the ground. And the mule, picture of sin, just kept on walking. And guys, without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the same way. We're going to keep going in our sin until we get stuck in the oak tree. And there's a lot of neat study on oak trees if you want to go to that in the scripture. And one other thing I'd like to share with you on here. Guys, there's so many times, if we're not reading the book, we will be blinded by the things that are said at the pulpit.
Amen.
We will be blinded by the things that we see on TV. Last night, my family and I was watching Ancient Aliens again about prophets and prophecies. And it was really comical this time. But it was interesting to see how they do it. But they talked about Moses and the burning bush. And they talked about the voice from the burning bush. Well, guys, I've heard that from independent Baptists from the pulpit for 50 years. The voice. And I want to share with you, the last week or two, I'm going through the book of Exodus, and my mouth drops open. Now, how in the world I can be blinded 50 times in a row, I'm just trying to share with you. If I missed it 50 times, don't feel bad if you miss it after one or two times. Okay? And Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. God is talking from the burning bush, and he's talking to Moses. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Guys, it was more than just a voice coming from the burning bush. There was a face in those fires. He had a face. And Moses did not want to look at the face. Which means he saw a face in those flames. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Fascinating. I like it when the Lord shares things with that with me. So, as we go through our Isaiah study, not on purpose are we trying to miss every golden nugget and every diamond that's in the book. We're just trying to give you an overview and point out things that you can study on your own. And if you do study on your own, feel free to share with us. I have not arrived. I don't know everything in Scripture. In fact, I still keep looking at myself as dumber than a stack of dirty bricks. So I'm still learning. And I hope to learn all the way up till the time the rapture goes. Okay. I just found out this week where straw comes from. I'm working on a farm. I just found out, we're talking 60 years later, and I'm finding out where straw comes from. This next week, they're going to harvest the wheat. All right? The wheat is the little tassel on top. And just so you know, I shared with them, they didn't know this, the difference between the tares and the wheat. At harvest time, the wheat bows down. At harvest time, the tares are standing straight up, a picture of pride. They will not bow down. Fascinating. So what they're going to do this week is they're going to harvest all the wheat. And what do they have left? The stems. And they're going to harvest that. And that's where the straw comes from that they use for bedding. So now you're educated like me.
I knew that.
You knew that.
I already knew that. It was the 80th century.
Well,
I did learn it since I've been in the country.
Super.
I didn't used to know.
I had no clue. Because I was looking and I thought, well, I wonder if God could use this for something else. Because I'm looking for ways to try to help them out. And that idea has already been taken. Probably thousands of years old. Okay, let's go ahead and get into chapter 23 of Isaiah. It's an incredible book. Isaiah chapter 23. We're gonna make an attempt here to go through the first 14 verses, because Isaiah chapter 23 is divided into two parts. The first 14 verses, it's the lamentation of desolation of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. God had proposed and went ahead and destroyed the city of Tyre. Wiped it out. Totally wiped it out. Now, we come into verse 15 to 18, the last part of the chapter. And what does the Lord do? He waits 70 years, and after the 70 years, he lets it be rebuilt. All right? The time that Tyre is being destroyed is just after Jerusalem got destroyed, which was, what, 587. So here comes the Chaldeans, the Nebuchadnezzar. They just wiped out Jerusalem. And now he's going on to move on to the next target that God called him to, and that's to wipe out the city of Tyre. Fascinating. Well, let's go ahead and do the 14 verses. I'll start with the odd. You guys read along with the even. And then we'll see all the great nuggets the Lord has in store for us.
How far?
14. Okay. So I'll start with the odd ones, and you guys can be on the even ones. The burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim it is revealed to them.
Be still,
the inhabitants of the isle,
thou
merchants of Sidon. Pass over the sea, have replenished. And by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations.
The
same
of
Zion. The sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nurse up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre.
How,
ye inhabitants of the isles, is this your joy city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn.
Taken
the counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princesses, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. And the answer is found in verse 9. The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth.
Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength.
He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof.
And he said, Thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon.
Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also
shall
have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not, till the Assyrian founded it,
for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. And he brought it to ruin. How he ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, the first thing we want to let you know is Tyre is a seaport on the Mediterranean. If you take a look at where the Sea of Galilee is on the map, you go 45 degrees till you hit the Mediterranean. That's where Tyre is. And if you go a few more miles north, that's where the city of Sidon is, right there. Also, as far as where the Sea of Galilee is, if you go just south of it, that's where Megiddo is. And that's where the nations are going to have their big fight at and lose.
You got a map there next to you.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you can see, here's Tyre, here's the Sea of Galilee, go 45, there's Tyre, here's Sidon up here, and then Megiddo is right here. Right there. So all three of them are all connected. Now, the notable person in Tyre is a guy called the Prince of Tyre. So when we study Isaiah chapter 23, you also have to take in Ezekiel chapter 26, 27, and 28. So I'll read that on your own time and compare scripture with scripture. But that who's the notable person is the Prince of Tyre. Let's go ahead to Ezekiel 28, verse 2. That's one part of the verse we want to pick up on there, so you know. Ezekiel 28. So the Ezekiel 28 that talks about Satan, Lucifer, and the Prince of Tyre is the Antichrist at this point. There are 18 Antichrists in the Old Testament. And this is one of them. So chapter 28, verse 2. And it says, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, that thou set thine heart as the heart of God. That's the man of Tyre, right there. He thinks he's God, and he's sitting in a very prosperous place in Tyre. The Satan and Antichrist, from that verse 2 going down to verse 19, shows you his connection with Satan. Shows you the connection there from verse 2 all the way down to 19. You just have to take a little bit of time to read that. In verse 12 it says, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And those are the connections we have with the Prince of Tyre. It's fascinating that he calls himself a god. And when you go through Deuteronomy and places like that, look for the phrase new gods. And the new gods are actually devils. Devils. And that's a fascinating study by itself. And we're not going to go there today. It would take the rest of the time up. The other thing we want to notice, I do have to share this with you in verse 19, talking about Satan. Because today we're living in a crazy country right now. All right? Those who are voted for Trump are called terrorists. And the reason they're...
By people who... Can't tell you what a woman is.
Right, by people who can't tell you what a woman is. And by a group of people whose association with Satan.
Amen.
They are totally in bed with Satan.
and with the Antichrist. If you study that, you'll know, and you'll cry. And I tell you what, cry, make it a prayer. Everything in Scripture, there's a balance for it. Every bad thing you see, make it a prayer. Make it a prayer and ask God to do something. Don't let Satan have his way. Pray. We have the power in the Spirit of the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 19. All they that knew thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. We're talking about the Antichrist at the end of his reign. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. The terror is Satan.
Amen.
And his the group that follows him are terrorists. All right, when Roe versus Wade got defeated, apparently 50 pregnancy crisis centers were attacked. And how does the news media report if they report at all?
Crickets.
Anti-abortion clinics.
Anti-abortion.
It's a death cult, guys. I'm working on a gospel track right now. And I praise the Lord for it. I know it's Him working in me on it. You're going to laugh at the title. It's called Love One Another. But when we're done reading it, you're going to be blown away like I am. And the Lord's writing it on the heart. He's showing you how you can't serve two masters. He shows you what happens when you have a house divided. And I have to say this, just food for thought, when a baby is aborted, guys, it's not a single person. In Genesis chapter 3, the husband and wife get married, and two shall be one flesh. Now, they always take that in the physical context. And I just want to throw this out for you for meditation. My two kids over here are the one flesh. They are the one flesh. So when a baby gets aborted, you're aborting two. And that is some deep thought for you. And that's the aim of Love One Another. Because the husband represents the Word of God. The wife represents faith in the Word of God. And Psalm 126 and Galatians and a few other places, the children is called the fruit of the Spirit. And what's the first fruit? Love. And what happens when you abort it? You've destroyed the man and you've destroyed the woman. Yeah.
God says in His Word in Proverbs 8, they that hate me
love death. Yeah. You see what direction this is going in. And I'm blown away by doing it. I totally, oh my. And the Lord talks to me on it, and I've got note cards. I'm writing as fast as I can. I'd like to get this out real quick, but you can't take God's word and do it real quick. It's got to be thought over, it's meditated on, prayed over. What's happening today is the same thing that occurred in Tyre. Same identical thing, guys. Same thing in Tyre. So let's see if we can speed up here just a little bit. Okay, in verse 1, 23 verse 1 here. How, ye ships of Tarsus? From the best I can tell you on Tarsus right here, there's a place in Spain just on the other side of the Rock of Gibraltar that it was called Tarsus, and that's where they're doing all their trading in. It was set up by the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians, guys, I've got a book on Irish history. The Phoenicians and the Greeks both ended up on the same island. And for the first couple of centuries, they fought each other to the death. And then they finally quit fighting and became the Irish people. But that's where you get the term, the fighting Irish, from the Phoenicians and Greeks fighting each other over that little piece of island over there. All right? So here you have Tarsus. They're coming in. Tyre was a very rich place. As we see here, it's called the nation, or the mart of the nations. Almost every nation had somebody there sometime during that year trading and making money and becoming very prosperous. And it says, how? For it is laid waste. God went ahead and took the Chaldeans from Nebuchadnezzar and wiped it out. There wasn't any doorways left open in that city when Nebuchadnezzar was done. It was flat, flat, flat. Yes, Jenny.
Is there a city in America that you would compare Tyrus to?
Oh,
you mean like, I'm thinking maybe New York, perhaps?
New York would be the big one.
Okay.
Okay, and then you can spread it out from there.
Maybe Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego.
You saw some of the protests in Dallas. I threw them in there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, start looking at these bigger cities and look what's going on in between. Guys, the pattern of sin in Scripture is no different in Tyrus, in Tyre than it is in any other major city.
And ironically, I mean, Tel Aviv isn't too far from the site of Tyre originally, and it's like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Exactly. And it's in here. One of the things, guys, I'm not going to be able to get to verses 15 to 18. We may not even make it through all these 14 verses. But listen up here. In Luke chapter 11, verse 24 and 26, it talks about getting rid of all the devils out of your heart. All right? But it's not done as the work of God. It's done as the work of doing good works. And what happens? The devils come back. And now it's just twice as bad as it is before. So when at the time we get into the second part, the restoration of Tyre, they go right back into the wickedness and become wicked again. And just as it said, it's right near Tel Aviv, same wickedness that was in Tyre, twofold is now threefold, and however bigger you want to study that out. Let's take a look at it. It says, from the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them. Chittim is connected with the race of Japheth. Some of the study I came across thinks it's Cyprus. But where the Phoenicians went, the word Chittim dropped everywhere. So it dealt with all the islands that they conquered. And even though other races came in and reconquered them, the name Chittim ended up being for the islands and being for Cyprus, okay? So from the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them. So all these other places that came in to Tyre from all these islands and from all these faraway places heard the news that Tyre is gone, like a nuclear bomb hit it and totally wiped them out. It wiped it out so bad, the ships could not come into the harbor. There was no place for the ships to come in. All they could do was just turn around and go back from where they came from. Verse 2, be still, ye inhabitants of the isles, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. So apparently Zidon was connected to the prosperity of Tyrus. And notice the word here, replenished. Okay, the word replenished comes from two words. R-E. The word R-E means again. The word plenished means to fill. So the word replenished means to fill again. All right? Every time Tyre was running out of their supplies or whatever, here comes Zidon coming in, they're going to replenish it. All right? When that farmer friend of mine goes ahead and harvests all the wheat, you know what he's going to do next year? Replenish. Put back what was taken away and grow more wheat for next year. Now, I don't know if he rotates his crops, but that's what the word replenish means. So Zidon was part of the prosperity. As we said, the most important person to remember about Tyrus is the prince of Tyrus, who was Satan. Now, we come along to Zidon. The most famous person of Zidon, believe it or not, is Jezebel. And when you study the book of Revelation again, you find Jezebel is teaching her people how to commit fornication. All right? And what does the Antichrist do when he comes in and signs in the Ten Commandments? It's fornication for everybody. All right? That's what they're going for. That's what the sexual revolution is. I found out here in America, the sexual revolution did not start in the campuses of the 50s or 60s here in America. It started in the 20s on the college campuses. So I'm in shock over that.
It was the beginning in the 19th century with Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Communist Manifesto.
So when was the depravity, if you look back in time, right around World War One?
Yeah. We have to remember the second plank for communism. First plank is set up a central trust bank, control your money. Number two was destroy the families. Destroy families. And what does fornication and adultery do? Destroys families. Johnny.
This is a fun aside here. So when you mention she's teaching people to commit fornication, makes me think of, what was it, Boris and Natasha talking about having children. We'll teach them how to lie and to cheat and to steal.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing you don't really need to be taught.
Yeah, but the Germans did some studies on 4 and 5 year olds and found out you didn't have to teach them to lie, cheat, or steal. No, without parents, they end up that way.
But this is beyond that. This is what you're seeing in America today with the so-called drag queen story times.
Yeah.
In the kindergartens and the preschools and everything. Children do not naturally do those things.
Correct.
They have to be taught, and that's what's going on.
Yeah.
They're being taught here in America what God says they're better off having those kind of times.
Yeah.
Cast.
Well, just in the last few weeks, they were going to the Portsmouth Library here in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And what the pastors of the city did is they went out and checked out all the books. So they had to close down the display. So that's pretty sad, guys, that has to be done. But
that's a smart way to do it.
Praise those guys for doing it, though.
Yeah.
They care. They care. One of the things in Proverbs talks about a bird coming and picking at your eyes. And what a bird does, he loves roadkill. And the first thing he goes for is the eye. And if you don't protect your eye, you're dead. Okay? We're not protecting the border in Texas. You know what that means? We're dead. We're dead. We're not doing anything to put a stop to it. They're estimating right now, if nothing is done between now and the time Biden resigns, not resigns, but you know, gets out of office, we will have 29 million illegal aliens in this country. Ohio only has 11 million. Maybe up to 13 million. That's two whole states coming in. Where's the money coming from? Clothes, food, or the whole bag of it. So I think there's some movement in Texas and New Mexico to put a stop to it. So we need to be in prayer, but when you see something, don't be dead to it. Be active in following what the Lord has for you. In verse 2, it says, be still. There's another verse. Let's see. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. The people that went through World War II in England said if they would have memorized this verse, they would have gotten through it better. Because the verse talks about all the tragedies going on around you. And the Lord is saying, be still, I'm here. Trust in me, I'm going to see you through it. All right, it's a very powerful verse. The other verse is found in Zechariah 2:13. I would list that as it depends on which side you're on with God. I'd list that one as scary. Anyone else has Zechariah 2:13? No, yeah, 2:13. Yeah, he is raised up. If you know anything about Acts chapter, I think it was 7, Stephen is being stoned to death. And he says, I see Jesus standing up. He was giving Israel one more chance. Had they accepted the gospel message, the rapture would have occurred at that point. He was standing up. When God stands up, look out. Look out. And when he stands up against America, it doesn't matter how many atomic bombs we have, hydrogen bombs, and how many IBM missiles, it's going down, and it's going to go down quick.
Amen.
I'm hoping, when it happens, I'm hoping the rapture comes first.
Amen.
All right? Because it's going to be ugly here, guys. It's going to be ugly here in the States. Let's go to verse 3. And by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is the mart of nations. Okay, Sihor is a river in Egypt. The Egyptians were also trading with Tyre. And what the Egyptians said, we're making more money by water going up there than we are making it on the land. Fascinating. Now, if you guys want to have a good study all these cities we just named their seaports. New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Look at all the seaports. Miami, look at the money being made. You make more money on the water than what you do, whatever. Johnny.
And I would guess that the obvious reason why that would be true, it takes a lot less energy to go to the sea. Because isn't it, especially back then, on land that would mean probably camels or horses, and you'd have to upkeep the horses.
Yeah.
And it's slow going. but the sea would tend to be faster, and all you have to do is let the wind push you.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe rowing.
Okay, verse 4. Be thou saved, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nurse up young men, nor bring up virgins. This is the only thing I can tell you on that one. If they're not travailing, not bringing in birth, not bringing up anything, to me it sounds like abortion. If they're not bringing up anyone. There's some form of connection with immorality with this verse. And that's just my own thoughts on there. But it's fascinating. Why? And notice the key word here, be thou ashamed, O Zidon. Zidon was, again, was the city of Jezebel. The city of Zidon was connected to witchcraft. If you do a great study through their scripture, you'll find how fascinating the Zidonians are. Fascinating. Verse 5. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. All right, here's Egypt mentioned again. They're finding out that Tyre is wiped out. They're in pain. They're in sorrow. And just like us when our favorite Myers was gone. We loved that place.
Yeah.
But they had, the foreigners were taking $1 million a year. Thieving. And so we lost out. We lost out. And then Giant Eagle had to leave. I don't know how big their losses were. The guys, they took down the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. So what's the new commandment? Thou shalt steal. How about, I think it's in San Francisco or L.A. in there. You can steal up to $950 from the stores and I get charged. Just take your card in at 949 stop, you're okay. What is wrong with that, guys? Even I think CVS is pulling out because they can't make anything. Doug.
I went over to H.H. Gregg and they had those big pillars, big cement things up there because the kids were stealing cars and driving right through the building and smash and grab, take everything you can and put it on out of there.
And just remember our founding fathers, even the ones who weren't saved then, said that our system of government, our society as it's built on our government, is only meant for a moral people.
Correct.
And once you throw that out, it's just a matter of time before it crumbles.
Yeah.
We're seeing it crumble right before our eyes.
Well, for those who signed the Declaration of Independence, 57 names, they found documentation, 55 were saved like us. 55. And the only two they couldn't document was Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, there's
fascinating.
There's some others on there that I don't throw in there.
Because
I don't want someone can go out and read them and think they're Christian and that they say things that aren't.
And that's true, because there's a few other things.
The important thing is, though, that they gave reference to God and the Bible as the founding.
Correct.
You know, of our foundation of our country.
Absolutely.
So even if none of them were saved, it doesn't matter. The foundation of this country is biblical morality.
Correct.
And once you throw that out, then
it's gone. Exactly. Well, that's part of the track I'm working on with Love One Another. Because that was the basis for the greatness of America for the first 150 years at least.
They were probably deists.
A lot of them, that's what they. Some of these guys like David Barton really. Stretch. I mean, if the founding fathers came in under any other name and told us what they believed, we wouldn't accept them as brother.
Yeah. Well, here's the big thing I'm finding out with the big name people. As far as Dave Barton, he'll say something and go, "Oh, he's way up here." So therefore, I don't question it. Oh, John MacArthur. Oh, he's way up here. I don't question it. Well, I'm sorry, but down through the years, I've been. Not on purpose, but I've been like a wrecking ball. And I'll come by and I'll say something, and, oh, we can't talk about that. Oh, no. We was actually told at one church we was at that John MacArthur and John Piper saying anything against them was blaspheme. Yeah. Can you imagine that? All right, let's go to, let's see if we can... Verse 6, pass ye over to Tarshish. How, ye inhabitants of the isles. In other words, the place is destroyed. Here comes the army. The Chaldeans put a siege on this city for 13 years. So anyone who did not escape ended up being made captive and taken to Babylon, just like the people of Israel. Verse 7, is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken the counsel? Now get this. Who hath taken counsel against Tyre, the crowning city? In other words, they crown themselves, just like Napoleon crowned himself. Whose merchants are princesses? Whose traffickers? And notice the word trafficker when you go back into Ezekiel 28. Trafficker. Satan was a trafficker. 1 second. Our traffickers are the honorable of the earth. We would be horrified in America to find out what noble people in our country are traffickers. Amen. Especially those high up in the government making money, slaves. Especially on the border, turning all those kids into slaves. And here's the final answer we'll leave with. The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory. Notice the word pride and its connection with immorality. To stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. And we'll stop right there. Let that be a warning. The Bible is not just for independent Baptists in a church like this. Amen. The Bible is for the whole world. And the Word says, you want to live evil and you don't want to repent in my calling? You don't want to be still and know that I'm God? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to raise up the army, and you're not going to be able to do a single thing. You're not going to lift a finger. I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to wipe you out. Guys, those are terrifying things. With Tyre being the mart of nations, I've got that connected to Rome, and that's found in Revelation 18, verses 2 and 3. Rome was the mart of nations when it gets blown up. God blew up Tyre. He's going to blow up Rome, knock him out. And there's a whole bunch of other verses, but I think we've had a good study. What a book. Yes, I see that hand.
We can't take questions.
Okay, we'll talk afterwards. Well, would you like to pray?
Yeah, you can pray.
Go ahead and pray, you. Yeah, Jared.
Amen. All right, onliners, grab your tea. I already got mine.